We're going to get into the time of the sermon, so we'll do scripture reading.
I'll be reading John 14, 1 through 8. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.
ヨハネの福音書14章1節から8節をお読みします。あなた方は心を騒がしてはなりません。神を信じ、また私を信じなさい。私の父の家には住まいがたくさんあります。もしなかったらあなた方に言っておいたでしょう。あなた方のために私は場所を備えに行くのです。私が行ってあなた方に場所を備えたら、また来てあなた方に私のもとに迎えます。私のいる場所にあなた方をもおらせるためです。私の行く道はあなた方も知っています。トマスはイエスに言った。主よ、どこへいらっしゃるのか私たちには分かりません。どうしてその道が私たちに分かりましょう。イエスは彼に言われた。私が道であり、真理であり、命なのです。私を通してでなければ、誰一人父の身元に来ることはありません。あなた方はもし私を知っていたなら、父をも知っていたはずです。しかし今やあなた方は父を知っており、またすでに父を見たのです。ピリポはイエスに言った。主よ、私たちに父を見せてください。そうすれば満足します。
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. How are you guys doing? U of A beat UCLA. Woo! No. Nobody cares. No, it's okay. That's basketball, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Yeah. I got a text early this morning from Noah. It's Tamao's son. He's in the Marines in training, and he texted me saying, can you pray for me? He just feels he needs to connect with God. So let's keep knowing our prayers. By the way, we do have a prayer ministry here, headed by Kazio Keller. Kazio, would you mind standing up so people know who you are? If you have prayer requests, and she even says, if you don't want the pastor to know prayer requests, you could give it to Kazio. And she has a couple of intercessors on her team. I believe is Shiho Inami and Yumi. Is Yumi here today? I don't see her. And Junko. Gabriel is our intercessors here. But today we're going through John's Gospel. And to give you a little bit of context, this is probably the last night or the last full day that Jesus will be with his disciples. And he will be taken from his disciples violently. Well, he surrenders himself. But it's in this context where Jesus actually tells them, hey, I'm going to leave. Not only am I going to leave, but some of you, and especially one of you, will desert me, One of you will betray me, and none of you could follow me right now. In this context, Jesus says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe it also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So believe in God, believe in me. Not just a statement out of nowhere. In the context of, you're going to leave me. And the circumstances, I'm sure Jesus knew, they were going to leave him because of the soldiers, the danger surrounding him. Also, they were probably going to deny him and reject him because the leaders were all rejecting him. Or not all of them, but the most boisterous leaders were going to reject him. We're going to villainize Jesus. We have to crucify him. Not simply, this guy is not a good person. This guy is an evil person, a false prophet, the false Messiah. The miracles he does, we're not going to discredit them, but they're from the devil himself. That's what they say. Those are their words, paraphrased. It's by the devil's power Jesus does these things. We must crucify him. And the official story that comes out is Jesus is guilty. He goes before the court, the official court. The person that tries him, I'm going a little further, I'm going on a little trail, but the person that tries him knows he's not guilty, but still says, well, let's crucify him. The people wants to do it. But it's in this context, Jesus knowing what's going to happen in the future, and Jesus already foretelling it to his disciples, he goes and comforts his disciples. Pretty amazing, wouldn't you say? What if you knew that in a couple of hours, 8 o'clock today, the police will come over your house, drag you out, and Fox News, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times, all says, Aki is a fraud. Fake pastor. The headaches that he prayed for and that went away, fake, but done by the power of the devil. Now put your name in there. Fake, fraud, you know, swindler, whatever. Evil, villain. I'd probably need the comforting at that moment if I knew that's what's going to happen. Instead, Jesus comforts his disciple. What an amazing person Jesus is. And Jesus says, you have to believe in God. You have to believe in me. You're going to run into a whirlwind or tornado of craziness is coming your way. You're not going to know which way is up or down. You're heading into the darkest moment, not just in your life, but perhaps in human history. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You've ever been in that place? Probably, obviously not the darkest time in human history, but you've ever been in a dark place? Place where you're like, what is going on? Which way is up? Which way is down? In those moments, believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. Believe in His sovereignty. Believe in His goodness. Believe in His intentions. Believe that He is a just, righteous, true God. Believe in me. Again, it's amazing that Jesus would take the time to comfort his disciple, considering the circumstances. Jesus, full of love and compassion, takes the time to make sure his disciples are fully prepared to go through his apparent failure. It is not a failure. He continues to encourage them, don't lose faith. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Believe in my sovereignty. Believe in my plan. Now Jesus says, I'm going to leave. He tells them, I'm leaving. But look at verse 2. Look at what he says. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Oh, my goodness. Jesus says he's preparing a place for us. Now, there is the body, the resurrection body, that perhaps he's talking about. But he's also talking about his permanent dwelling place and the place where we will come to once this life is through. Verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be, and you know the way to where I'm going. This perhaps, I'm going away, preparing a place for myself, is the image of the ancient Jewish marriage process. They are betrothed. I've never used that word before. I think I betrothed my wife. Is that like, I don't know. Do people use betrothed? Betrothed? I'm not even saying it right. Betrothed. So there's a betrothal period. Betrothal period? I don't know. Sorry, I guess. I did research. I mean, I'm not just like shooting off my hips. But then the husband-to-be comes to the wife and gives, I guess, maybe a dowry, presents himself, and the families agree, and the husband-to-be goes back to the father's house, his father's house, and prepares a living place outside of his father's place, so that him and his wife could have a place together. I believe this is the imagery that is taking place here. Jesus is telling his church, telling his disciples, his soon-to-be church, I'm leaving. But I'm leaving to prepare a place for you. Meaning, the implications are, we as a church, we are Jesus' bride. Taking us, he's preparing a place for us, so that when he returns, it will be the marriage between the son and the bride. The marriage supper will be on that day. It's a beautiful image. The husband saying, you know where I'm going to go. It might take a while, but wait, believe in me. I'm going to come back for you. I don't know if the disciples picked up on this imagery. Thomas says, I don't know. Or, not. I don't know if it was Thomas. It is Thomas, sorry. I do know it's Thomas. In verse 5 it says, Thomas said. So, that's how I know it's Thomas. But as Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, this is the famous passage, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes it very clear that he is the way to the Father. I am the way. There is no other road that leads to a reconciled relationship with the Father. I am the way. That Jesus is showing them that you believe in me, you also believe in the Father. But also, you believe in me, there is an access to the Father. An access to the Father. Not just a road to the Father. Not just, if I live a good life here, I die, I go to heaven. I know that's sort of the common theme or narrative that the Christian church may teach and preach, But there is more than that. It is an access to the Father. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to the Father. How do you get to God? Through Jesus. How do I connect with God? Through Jesus. How do I get an answer from God? Through Jesus. Jesus also says, I am not only just the way, I am the way, the truth. And I believe it's important to say that in Jesus' context. I'm the truth. There's going to be a lot of falsehoods spoken about Him. But I am the truth. But looking on further, there's going to be a lot of other paths and roads that people are going to say, this is the way to the Father. Jesus says, I am the truth. I believe it's clear in the Bible that the truth will set you free. The truth will set any one of us free from bondage. Now, what is truth? What is truth then? You ever ask yourself, what is truth? Philosophy, you know, if you take a philosophy class, you might have to answer that question. What is truth? What is truth? Is truth just a bunch of facts put together to make a cogent, coherent argument? Is that truth? What is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. The truth is more than just logic. I'm not saying logic is thrown out the window. That's not what I'm saying. The truth is more than just a bunch of facts put together to make a compelling story. Not that facts aren't important. Surely they are, obviously. But what is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. I think there's a lot that goes into that, I am the truth. He is the truth because He knows all things. He knows all things. He knows intentions. He knows motives. Not just actions. He knows the thought process. He knows the history. He knows everything. He is truth. Jesus is truth. You know, I was working at this camp one day. It's like a summer retreat for the youth, for high school and junior high students. It's a 3-day thing we did at the church I used to attend, Crossway Church. And there was a junior high student. You know, very faithful, came out. We had Friday night meetings. She'd come out Friday night meetings. You know, one of the happiest people you'd see, just very bright, beautiful, talented, everything you could want as a kid, in a kid. But towards the end of the retreat, she came up to me and she said, you know, I don't really know if Jesus is real. She told that to me. What would you say as a camp counselor if someone said, I don't know if Jesus is real? I told her that's okay. As long as you seek truth, you will find Him. I'm not intimidated if you seek truth. As long as you are sincerely seeking truth. You know, I don't think I would, personally, my own testimony, I came to know Jesus when I was about 19. I kind of forgot now. Oh man, it's been so long. Oh, it's been 20 years. Yikes. I'm 20 years old in the spirit. Oh, I'm so young. Oh my gosh, just doing the math, I just threw myself off. Anyways, it was 20 years ago I came to know the Lord. I didn't come to know the Lord because I was grown up to know the Lord. There are people like that, and that's great. That's awesome. Came to know the Lord just through the conviction of a friend sharing the gospel with me, sharing the news of Jesus Christ. So for me, I'm not so intimidated by people who seek the truth. I love that. I love it if you seek truth. Great. Because if you're sincerely seeking truth, I believe you will find Jesus Christ. I am the truth. You come to Jesus, He will set you free. He will blow your mind. He will take you through things you didn't think you could go through. He'll make it all worth it too. Jesus is life. His life that we see in the gospel reflects that. But He is the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the exact reflection and representation of the author of life, God the Father. Jesus says, if you see me, you have seen the Father. And Jesus, throughout His life, continued to give life. And it's an interesting thing that He says later on in this chapter that if you believe in me, you will do greater things than these. That's an incredible, incredible statement. I'm not going to go there today. But He says, if you believe in me, you will do even greater things than these. What does that mean? we got a couple pastors in the house. What does that mean? You know, you will do greater things than these. What is Jesus talking about? Surely He's not talking about the act of salvation. We could put that out, put that aside. There's no way you could do greater act of salvation of dying on the cross for humanity. So let's put that to the side. You will do greater things than these. We could talk about it later maybe. But Jesus says, if you believe in me, in my name, you'll do greater things than things. I am life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the life. He is the exact representation of the Father. Many of us may think the Old Testament and the New Testament has different gods because of just the different apparent nature of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus came to set the record straight that He is the representation of the Father. What you see in the Old Testament, unless you see it through the lens of my life and the reflection of who God is, you will not understand the Old Testament. You will not understand all of the things that had to go on in the Old Testament unless you see it through my eyes, Jesus says. I am the representation of the Father. The Father in the Old Testament that seemed so vengeful, angry, bloodthirsty, false misrepresentation from the leaders that would go on to crucify Jesus. No. This God in the Old Testament, just as loving, full of grace, full of mercy, full of peace, full of justice, just as I am. Because if you see me, then you know the Father. He says that if you know me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. Jesus is God incarnate here on earth. He is everything that God the Father is. And we, as His disciples, are to reflect that, represent that here on earth. The churches, just as Jesus was the exact representation of the Father, Jesus is now calling us, His disciple, to be the representation of God here on earth. That if they see us, if they encounter us, they will in some ways encounter God the Father as well. Is that true? When I engage and encounter you, do I experience the Father? Yes and no. Sometimes on a good day, maybe. But that is the vision of the church, if you will. So that we can be a pure, spotless bride for the Lord. And a perfect representation of the Lord here on earth. To represent Him to the world. All creation groans. They long for the revealings of the sons of God. The children of God. To become sons. To mature to sons. This is just my thing. Well, maybe it's not just my thing. But, you know, when we come to know God, we're called children of God, right? Sort of? Yes? Dennis, I'm waiting for you to... I don't know. No, just kidding. I need approval from some of the theological giants in this room. We got some heavy hitters in this room today. But we are children of God when we come to know the Lord. But somewhere else in the Bible, it talks about sons of God. There's a difference between a child and a son. Legally. In Roman culture. Legally. When you become a son, legally you are able to exercise the authority of the father. You could do transactions. With the father's estate. As a son, you okay, Louis?
Yes.
Okay.
Need some water.
Okay, just making sure. As a son, you begin to represent the father. Not just looks-wise. Not just in appearance. Some say I really look like my father. I guess the shaved head helps too. My dad is bald. But, not just visually do you reflect the Father, but legally you begin to reflect the Father. In the Bible it talks about, in my name, you will do greater things than these. Legally, we begin to look like the Father. As Christians, it's great that if you are a child of God, amazing. That would never be taken away from you. But to mature as the sons of God, all creation groans and waits for that to happen. So that we could reflect Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Certainly the disciples will look like the Lord one of these days. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can trust you. Though you have been gone for over 2,000 years, we know that if you're gone for that long, imagine the greatness of the place you are preparing for us. I thank you, Father, that while we are here, we have access to you. Access to your throne. Access to the Father. That we could correctly represent you here on earth. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to mature in Christ, to mature in you, Jesus, so that we can reflect you, represent you here on earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you.